Can I bring in Peter Tyson? Is Peter Tyson here? Because I think you have a question, as it were, related to this, and I wondered if you'd both like to ask your question and, in a sense, comment on what's been said so far.
Thank you, Peter Tyson. I'm head of history in a large comprehensive in Stevenage. The reason I'm asking this question, it's about the increasing number of academies and the encouragement for schools to become academies, which are then not bound by the national curriculum, and increasing numbers of academies are significantly reducing the amount of history that they teach. So it's a kind of contradiction that you're allowing, you're on one hand encouraging history to be taught, at the same time reducing the number of schools that are able to teach it or who want to teach it. And a second point, based on what we were saying earlier, my school, I hesitate to name it at the moment, only one third of the kids are allowed to take history at GCSE, only the top third. The bottom third, 2 years ago, were no longer allowed to do it. The middle third this year aren't allowed to do it, so only the top third are now allowed to do it. At the same time, one quarter of my year nines are now being taught by non-specialists because apparently we can't afford enough history teachers.
Steve.
As David said, I stood as a parliamentary candidate for the Conservative Party. I am in favour of schools being given much, much greater freedoms. However, the academies that we have had up to this point are a creation of the Labour government, and I don't want to score party political points because that is not the point of this meeting tonight. Michael Gove, and I cannot speak for him personally, but in discussions with him, he is wholly aware of the death of history in academies around the country over the last few years, since academies have been created. He is wholly aware of that. There are four concerns that I have, and I have certainly communicated these in no uncertain terms to Michael Gove and Nick Gibb. Those four concerns are, firstly, if academies have control of the curriculum, then opening minds type RSA, hodgepodge approach, cross-curricular nonsense approaches to history taught by non-specialists will become commonplace, or taught by non-specialists because of timetabling issues that deputy heads have. Or compressing key stage three into 2 years so that a pupil's history education stops age 13. Mm-hmm. And fourthly, that the time allocation for history in schools up and down the country now is appalling. I'll give you two examples. In the school in which I teach, history has just been increased in year nine by an extra 20 hours. I'm extraordinarily lucky that I have a head teacher who values history as a discrete subject on the curriculum. That means at key stage three in my school, I counted it up, 214 hours of history. In an academy not too far from us in the next county, they have 78 hours of history in secondary school. And that's a 2 year key stage three with an hour a week of history, some non-specialists teaching it as part of an integrated humanities program. That terrifies me, and that terrifies Michael Gove as well. So the greater freedoms that will be given to these new schools, Michael is certainly very aware that history needs to be up there with English, maths, and science. It is a subject that needs to be protected in the curriculum. I can't say how it's going to be protected, but there's been an awful lot of heat that's been generated on history discussion forums. There hasn't been a lot of light generated. Names like Neil Ferguson bandied about. Has he been asked to draw up a list of? No. Is he on a working group? No. Has the Conservatives asked him to say what the history curriculum is going to be? No. He was as surprised as everyone else was at the Hay Festival to hear his name dropped in conversation by Gove and said, well, yes, I'll be involved. He certainly has not been asked to write the history curriculum. Gove is totally aware of all of these concerns that we are expressing here, and he values history. In fact, he's the first Secretary of State of Education since Charles Clarke to see history as important in the curriculum.
I don't think any working group could afford Neil Ferguson.
All this merely goes to show that you shouldn't believe everything you read in the newspapers. There's someone over there who wants to come in, and then I'd like to ask Kate to come in as well. Would you like to? Yep. Hold on. Yep. The microphone. Microphone is heading towards you.
I guess I just had sort of a half question, half comment, really, which is that sort of we seem to be suggesting that we can't necessarily rely on the government and on senior leadership to facilitate and enforce the provision of good quality history in schools. And if that's the case, and if that may not change at any time in the near future, actually it's about us making sure that everyone who is trained to, who is a qualified history teacher, can teach history very, very well and is prepared to defend the subject. My question then is about how we make sure that teachers who are trained to teach history, whether on PGCE courses or by other routes, and maybe also actually to teach other subjects, given the teaching of history by non-specialists, is done to a sufficiently high quality so that we are in a position to defend ourselves and defend the subject for the kids.
Thank you for that. Can we hold that question for a minute and just talk a bit more about academies?
In a sense, I feel what I was going to say has probably been made redundant by Steve's comments, but all the evidence from the survey which the HA carried out last year, and we've just got the results in this year, the message about if you leave it to academies, and particularly, I mean, the concern that you can say, well, governments, big society means governments leaving it. While that mechanism, and Heather mentioned this, of the five A's to C's, and now including English and maths, the number of schools who said, English and maths is now in there, right, we are reducing every other subject on the curriculum to 1 hour a week, and all the rest is English and maths, makes that hugely dangerous. And there are still these central levers being applied. But the evidence from academies in particular of the drop to a two-year key stage three or competency curricula, and we have schools reporting less even than Steve was reporting, schools where they have effectively 38 hours. They teach history for 1 hour a week in year eight, and they do a competency skills-based thing in year seven, and you opt for your GCSEs at the end of year eight, and we've got up to two-thirds of pupils dropping history at the end of year eight, and I mean that's the worry with the lever applied so heavily on English and maths, and that's the crunch, and otherwise it's five or more, but it's those A's to C's that count, then it becomes the drivers that push so hard against highly skilled professionals campaigning for the value of their subject. They are just silenced.
These are important figures to have, and it's been very good, and I'm not party pre here, that the Historical Association has done so much work alerting us to this sort of information. Ken Baker, then, yes. Someone here, and then someone over there.
Going back to the original question from Dr. Lang, I was rather encouraged to hear someone actually defending the national curriculum, because I was much being attacked for introducing such a prescriptive thing as the national curriculum, particularly from the right wing. And it is undoubtedly true that it is going to be more relaxed. And I think one is going to move to the stage where you're going to have a national curriculum up to 14, a much greater choice post-14, which ironically was envisaged by the Board of Education in 1941 when they devised the pattern of school education post-war, and it was selective grammar schools, selective technical schools and high schools, and the age of transfer 13 to 14. And some of Butler's minutes have been dug up, and Butler very much took the view, you use the phrase that up to 14, all children should go through a common mill, he called it, as it were, of an integrated complete curriculum. And I introduced that at 16 against much opposition, including from my Prime Minister, but I thought it was needed. I think it's going to be more relaxed in the future, not just in academies. I thought in certain schools give still a high premium to history. Public schools certainly do, grammar schools certainly do, some comprehensives do, some academies do, actually. But I do appreciate the point that's been made so eloquently by both of you, saying that it is in the retreat, and that's very sad. I haven't got an answer for that. Could I just say something about the scheme that I've heard about in Brighton College, which I was trying to say earlier, which is rather relevant.
No, I'm happy to hear about Brighton now.
Brighton College is a public school in Brighton, which is coming up in the world. It's quite demanded for now. And they have a system, which some of you had heard about, for 11 and 12-year-olds, which is called Our Country. And Our Country is history, geography, and religion. And it seems to work very well indeed, in that in religion they start with the Celts and St. Augustine and Becket, and then on to the Reformation, and then on to other religions. And at the same time, they're talking about the geography of the country, the forest, the deforestation, the industrialization, enclosures, and all of that happening throughout history. and history coming as what would be normally termed political history, you know, how Simon de Montfort started it and all the rest of it. And that seems to work very, very well. I'm told, I think the author of this curriculum is somewhere in the audience tonight. Is she here, the lady? You did you? And is it working well?
It's working very well.
Stand up.
I think you need a microphone. No, you don't have to ask a question, but you could tell us more about life in Brighton.
Hello, I'm Joanne Riley. I'm the deputy head at Brighton College and a history teacher. And my headmaster, I think what I've been listening very carefully to everybody's points, and it seems to me that it's the individuals, as you say, at the coalface who are pushing the senior managers, of which I'm one, to implement history. And I'm very lucky to have a headmaster who is a visionary, I think, in this respect. And he sees, as I do, history in its widest sense. You know, it's not just one story. You know, it is about interpretation and evaluation. But it's also about things in context and understanding how events are caused by, not just by people, but by landscapes, environments, economies. And so we've taken a very ambitious stab, really. And I must say, 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds, as I'm sure you all know, if you make it exciting, if you make it relevant, and you teach it with guts and a bit of bravado, they will lap everything up from, the Celts to the Crusades and the Industrial Revolution. And I would just like to say that it's been the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Thank you so much for that. The gentleman back there has been... Yep, and then someone over here.
Alistair Smith, I'm a senior lecturer in education at London Met. I'm also used to work here on the PGC, and I'm also the secretary of the Anti-Academies Alliance, which is what I want to talk about, because it's a subject that's close to my heart. I want to deal with why academies are cutting history, and the real reason isn't that they're ideologically against history. It is exactly as you said, it's about the pressure of the market. The academies were set up, we were told, to raise standards. So in order to raise standards on a narrow measure of 5A to C English and maths, you have to cut everything else, and that's the real reason. So the academies that we have now have been limiting the time for history. And this really, the problem we've got is that a market-driven system, which is what Gove is now promoting. I mean, you say Gove cares about history. Well, yes, but today in Parliament, he's driving through an academy bill which will have even more free market ideology, even more pressure to drop history. So there's a complete contradiction in what he's doing. And, you can imagine. I'll tell you one straight thing is the logic of this Academy's bill will be, I'm sure the private schools and the best grammar schools will keep history, but where will history be lost? It'll be amongst our poorest communities, in the community schools, etc. We'll have a divided, segregated system where the best schools get another history curriculum and the working class kids get no history. That's the danger. And just for Kenneth, you're promoting UTCs, technology colleges. This is where do you go with history with that? And we've got a real problem.
Exactly. I am promoting university technical colleges, which are technical colleges from 14, self-selection, and they're sponsored by a university and an FE college.
Will they do
and
history?
And I want them to do some history, right? Oh. So I've approached City and Guilds to see if they can devise some courses in things that will interest them, like the history of great inventions, history of engineers, what steam has done, what the wheel has done to changing society. I know I won't get them turned on to Cromwell and Charles I. I know that.
Dumbed down history for working class kids. That's the danger. That's the danger.
In the area that they're studying. So I've not given up.
I think we are. I mean, it is clear that there's a lot of concern about this difficult paradox that all governments face, I think, which is how far they say this is what ought to be done, and that might be good, or they say, no, we'd rather devolve these powers to individuals or institutions who don't then do what they'd like them to do. And I can see this is going to be quite a problem for Mr. Gove, and I'm sure he's going to need a lot of advice. And I hope he'll be... we'll pass on some of what's been said tonight.